Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend, Mary Jo.
Yes. It makes it tricky to park downtown.
Indeed. Yeah, it's green downtown. Folks walking around everywhere. What's crazy about this mixture right now downtown at this hour is you have all the folks dressed up for St. Patrick's Day, and then you have all the folks dressed up for Comic-Con.
Yes.
Which is at the convention center. So there is parking for the 5K, the Shamrock Run, was this morning.
Which is nice because I feel like it always rains for that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is always a rainy thing, and so it was nice for them this morning.
And so now you have parking for the events. Today the parade is at 1 o'clock, and then Comic-Con is all day. Tonight is Disney on Ice.
And right in between there, you can catch Kentucky and Georgia in the semifinals of the SEC tournament.
Perfect. Perfect. So it is. It's a tough ticket downtown right now. But
maybe a tougher ticket in Nashville from some of the pictures I've seen down there.
Yes, it's a party.
Sea of blue, no doubt.
Did you hear about the fans who were not able to get in for a while? It took like half of the first half. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
So, you know, they clear the arena out, Bridgestone Arena, the SEC officials, Bridgestone Arena, they clear the arena out between sessions. So the afternoon session had ended. Kentucky was the first game of the evening session. They completely make everyone get out and then re-enter, or just the new people come in. And they didn't start the process, or they didn't finish the process and begin it quickly enough. So by the time they started letting Kentucky fans in, they all couldn't be there in time. I don't know if you recognize John Saunders say something about the arena about two-thirds full right now, 10 minutes before game time, or something like that. Mm-hmm. They were acknowledging the light crowd. It was because they were all outside trying to get in. So I think around midway through the first half, finally...
Well, they didn't miss... I mean, those first few minutes of the game were ugly.
Yes.
So they got in and saw... Once they got there, they saw the good stuff.
Right.
They saw Alex Poitras, I mean, just crush it.
Four.
And four of five shooting.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he shot 12 threes and four went in.
No, he was 2 of 16 this year from 3.
Right, he's been so bad that he never, ever worked on that bow and arrow thing before. Right. Which is why it was so disappointing when he did it last night.
He said that he hadn't planned on doing the bow and arrow. And then he's looking at Jamal Murray and he goes, "All right, I'm going to bring it out.
I've hit four of them. I've got to."
Let's go ahead and get on the phones right now because we have Dennis on the line this morning. Good morning, Dennis. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Also, having Christ, what a good, glorious Irish day.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you there, Missy. You know, with Comic-Con happening and, of course, St. Patty's Day, why isn't there like a superhero character called the Mighty Leprechaun?
I don't know. The movie Leprechaun maybe scared everybody off from that.
One of the things I'm pretty sure
there is Pint Man with this cape and a pint in hand.
One of the things about this year's team I love is the backcourt play of Jamal and Tyler. I mean, I guess
that's the best in the country. Yeah. I mean, he's the best in the country.
And when you got coaches like Krzyzewski and Billy Kennedy saying how, he may be only 5'9", but he plays like he's 6'7".
Right.
And it's just, every time he brings the ball to court, you know in his mind what he's going to do. He knows he's setting up the play. And, Cal knows how to hit the right buttons. I mean, Scal's even, stepping up now. Like, what is really going on with this world?
You know, what he was able to do is he was able to get into their heads again and just say, look, we're not messing around anymore. This is what you do well. You do this well. Do that. Don't do anything else. Do that.
And
he's saying that to Marcus Lee and Derek Willis and Scalabissiere, and Dominique Hawkins and Alex.
But I mean, that's what I said to Dan when we walked in. I said, "Is he really done this? Has he really got this team that lost to Auburn? And has he really gotten them here? Is this what we're? I mean,
looking at one of maybe five teams that could win it all.
Yeah,
it's just so awesome to watch this team gel together as one. Like nobody's trying to play above the next. I mean, you got your bench knowing their role. They come out there. I mean." Derek Willis comes out and nail a three like he hasn't missed anything. When he comes out, he knows his role. This is what's so great about tournament time this time of year. Cal's got the team kicking good. And, you know, like you said, they're one of the four teams that can win it all. And, you know, I wouldn't really be upset if they did. I mean, I think it would be awesome.
No, I wouldn't be upset if they did.
Yeah, it would be okay. I mean, I could live with it.
You know,
I like watching basketball with Kentucky.
Overall, though, I mean, you know, watching these guys play like this, you know these coaches got to be shaking their head like, God, you know, what's going to happen tonight? Who's going to go off? But, you know, with Tyler and Jamal, I mean, too bad they're going to be gone next year. But, you know, all I could say is go Big Blue.
Sometimes.
Thanks, Dennis. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. All right, guys. The simple things are the hardest to do sometimes. And Cal will preach from the very beginning. We've heard him say it 8 bajillion times. Just have fun out there.
Yeah.
If you guys are having fun out there. Like, make this game fun.
They're having fun.
And you can see it. And it changes a team. It really does. Once they get to that spot where they can have fun, it comes together. And until someone does it, I don't think you can call Jamal Murray anything but unstoppable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they tried. Alabama tried last night. They chased him around for a while. And then it was like, what are we going to do?
He cannot. You can contain him for a half.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't see.
That's it.
Here is one of the things that I heard Georgia coach Mark Fox say last night that is the difference about this team. Of course, the backcourt is the reason they're able to do any of this. But that's the straw that stirs the drink, without a doubt. But Mark Fox, Georgia head coach, said, UK can beat you a million ways. That's it right there. Let's say for some crazy reason Jamal Murray gets in foul trouble. Well, you just play a little differently now. You just go to Dominique Hawkins, or you go to Derek Willis with Briscoe and Euless at the 1 and 2, and maybe Willis plays the 3. I mean, it's just you've got so many ways to go about it. And Calipari said, you know, we haven't had this all year. I haven't had a team this healthy. And the injuries, while they stunk when they happened, it's what's gotten us into this situation where all these guys can do what they're doing, where Scal's able to do his deal and Derek's able to do his deal. It forced guys to step up.
Now, Derek did say his ankle is just not going to be right till the season's over.
Right.
He said last night it's taken away some of his athleticism, but he's back out there.
Yeah.
And I think you had this stat last week. It was like 22 games or something where they didn't have their full complement of players all year, be it Alex or Derek or Dominique.
Yeah, 22 of 30 games.
Yeah, someone being out. Or Marcus missed a game and a half.
Right, got knocked in the nose or the head or whatever that was. But you think back even to 2014, and was it Nick Stauskas for Michigan was on fire?
Mm-hmm.
He threw Dominique Hawkins at him and put him down.
Yeah.
So that's just one example of what Calipari has at his disposal entering the postseason. You know, if it's not working for Scal, I mean, he could just play different ways. He has the ability to change his strategy because of the great personnel he has and the depth. They can just play different ways. But Euless and Murray are going to drive it. What have we always heard? Good guard play, you know, is what can take you far in the tournament.
The times that Kentucky has gotten beat in the tournament, it's because the other team's guards went absolutely nuts. Shabazz Napier, Kemba Walker, the little dude for West Virginia that I can't remember his name right now, and obviously our poor shooting that night. But that's what's knocked us out is. And then I see UConn, you know, hits a 70-foot shot.
Connecticut's,
on. And I'm like, what if it's us in Connecticut again? And they get on some sort of crazy hot streak. streak UConn does. Like, I can't get that matchup.
Here's Kentucky's region. This is what's going to be like. The one seed will be North Carolina. The two seed will be West Virginia. Kentucky will be a 3. Indiana will be a 4. Connecticut will be a 5. If Wisconsin makes it in, they'll be in that region too. I mean, they'll just set it up so that Kentucky's got a, you know.
Notre Dame.
Wichita State will get in as like an 11 seed. Kentucky will play them in the first round or something. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But Calipari, though, since he's been at Kentucky, what has he done in the NCAA tournament? He didn't go 1 year. The years he did go, no worse than Elite Eight. No worse than Elite Eight. So the first year was Elite Eight. The second year was Final Four. The third year was National Championship. Then there was the NIT. The next year was
Final Four.
The next year was Final Four.
National Championship game.
National
Championship game, then Final Four.
Right. So that's mm-hmm. 5, right?
Yeah.
5. 5 trips to the Elite Eight or later.
He's gone to 4 Final Fours in 6 years.
So it's he knows what he's got, and he knows how to play in March. It's what he's setting everything up for.
And yet when we are in January, we still forget all about all those things and can sometimes, you know, panic a little bit or wonder what he's doing and what's going on. But there's definitely a method to his madness.
No. This is his fault. See, if he'd have been doing this back in January, Kentucky'd be a 1 seed right now. You see? It's Calipari's fault, really. Yeah,
my fault. I put the tweet. You basketball bennies will know what I changed. I should have put this in there a long time ago.
Exactly. If he'd have done the tweak in January, we'd be talking about Kentucky as the number one overall seed right now. But no, you want to tinker around and lose to Auburn.
I do think he would prefer to be a number one seed.
Well, for sure, yes. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Sometimes I think he's off the cuff a little bit, and then sometimes I think he's just a grand schemer, you know? But regardless, Kentucky is going to go and do well in the NCAA tournament. I mean, under him for how many more years? Because he may retire now that Brad's walking on.
Well, or he may be here for another 4 years.
At least another 4 years. I mean, he may retire here is what I meant. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't say that properly. Yeah, he may not leave Kentucky. He may coach till he's 70. Remember, of course, he said that.
Did you see what he said, told Carl Anthony Towns?
Yes, that
parents,
was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
I'm going to be easier on Brad because I sleep with his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny to hear Calipari also say, look, I leave this when I go home. Like, me and the wife sit around and watch
Alaskan Gold Rush.
Yeah. Alaskan reality TV shows on Nat Geo or whatever. And, you know, don't worry about this. So, seems like he's got a good balance. He's got his son coming to play for him for the next 4 years. Yes, it's crazy with the amount of turnover that he has to deal with every year with a new team.
And he's been around and is smart enough. He sees the stuff in the NBA right now. George Karl's going to get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one's going to pay him, I don't think, the money that he... that it's out there that he thinks he needs to get.
Right.
And I think that he has that number thrown out there because he doesn't think he's going to get that. Now, if someone chooses to, then it's tough
That's
to
like
turn
the
that
number
down,
that says, if you're willing to go there, I'm willing to listen. Because that, you know, that says something. It's a ridiculous number. That means you must really think a lot of me and you'll probably allow me to have a lot of control.
But he still knows if it doesn't work in 2 years, it doesn't matter that he's got a 10-year deal. It doesn't matter. I mean, he'll cash in and get paid whatever. The buyout is whatever. But I don't think he wants to get fired again.
No.
I don't think he does at this point.
Well, and I think here's what happens, too. When you age, your mindset changes. You know, a few years ago, just let's say 2-3 years ago, you know, he still had a kid living in the house, you know? Mama still had her baby boy living in the house. Now, there's no kids in the house. And a little bit older. And the job has aged you some. Ellen has opened up enough to talk to the media.
A time or two. Andy Katz.
Andy Katz had that sit-down interview, and she was asked why she hadn't done it before, and it's kind of like, well, the kids are gone, you know? I mean,
Listen, I think there would be a boost. Like, initially, there would be a lot of chatter about him because he's kind of a divisive figure or a polarizing guy, but college is so much about the coach and the pro is so much not. He's got such an ego. I mean,
yeah.
How many times I've had to be reminded at least five times this year. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are a good team.
Yeah.
In the best conference in the NBA. And I always forget that Billy Donovan left Florida to go there.
Yeah.
I just do.
You just
forget because it's Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. It's not about Billy Donovan.
Exactly. It's not. And, you know, this may not work for him because, you know, Oklahoma City was already good.
Yes.
They brought Billy Donovan in to go higher, next level. And right now what they're doing, Oklahoma City Thunder, is leading the NBA in blown fourth quarter leads. They've had the lead 11 times this season going into the fourth quarter and lost.
Yeah, they were good with Scott Brooks.
Yeah. So now there's that. There's that kind of worry that you have. Yeah, I just think that Calipari's in a place in his life where this is really, really working out nicely.
It is.
And why would you want to go anywhere else? You're catching great fish here. Why move to another fishing hole? That's what I'm saying. And the other thing here, we'll talk about this next. He continues to be seen in a negative light. How much longer does he have to go by some national media? How much longer does he have to go in this direction with demonstrated performance before they just shut up and give him his due? We'll talk about that more next.
My God, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Can't knock that. The Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
1923. A new car costs $265. A gallon of milk, 56 cents. The average price for a home, $7,800. 1923. The year Hearst Business Supply opened its doors. A local company putting local dollars back into the community. Hearst Business Supply is a third-generation family-owned business. We've advanced, too, with more than office products. Hearst now sells break room supplies, advertising specialty items, even Keurig products, and more. Hearst Business Supply is still here, serving the community. Bigger isn't always better. 91 years later, it still rings true.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children. Offices Lexington.
Suggins Bar and Grill opened its doors 30 years ago and has become a Chevy Chase tradition. It's the best in family casual dining, offering southern comfort favorites such as fried banana peppers, award-winning homemade chili, fried catfish, and of course their big juicy half-pound hamburgers with toppings you choose, all at prices that will make you glad you brought the whole family. Stop by and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials made fresh daily. Suggins Bar and Grill on Romney Road, open Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Yes, we are. We're here at the SEC semifinals round. We're actually in Lexington, just off the path of the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yes.
That'll be rolling through here at 1 o'clock in Lexington today. You gonna stick around for that? No.
No.
You're bouncing?
Bouncing. Yeah.
If it doesn't rain, I'm gonna go get the kids and bring them down.
It doesn't look like it's supposed to rain till later this afternoon, but
yeah.
I mean, it also looks like it could rain at any moment.
Do you remember the year that they had St. Patrick's Day celebration all day in Center Pit because it was filled and there was all grass? And it was that big grassy meadow, basically, a paddock.
I don't remember that.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Dudley Webb, by the way, said this week, hey, get it out of your head that it's going to be an amphitheater or a park or a big old grassy field. That ain't happening, folks.
Yep.
We paid a lot of money for that thing, and we plan to develop it.
Good. Then develop it, for God's sakes.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yes, it is. But that was a great space, is what I'm saying, for St. Patrick's Day. That was a great place. You had tents and all that. You could do all kinds of things with that. But anyway, on to Kentucky, Georgia this afternoon at 3 o'clock. That first game is going to be Texas A&M LSU.
Yes.
I mean, Texas A&M wins that game, right? LSU almost lost to Tennessee yesterday.
And Tennessee had a nice little run.
They did. But
yeah, I just can't see LSU winning the game.
So Kentucky will get another shot at Texas A&M in what do we call Nashville? Rupp Arena South, yes. So this time is going down. By the way, Kentucky 39-2. That's the record. They've played in 41 SEC tournament semifinal games. Like all time, 41 SEC tournament semifinal games. They're 39-2. Kentucky has only lost twice.
For the purposes of this show and this show only, I did watch the Georgia-South Carolina game last night. Just brutal.
Yeah.
Suck to watch that game.
Yeah.
And then it did end up coming down to the final seconds. You know, and you're like flipping around like the ACC tournament's on, like
Oklahoma
and West Virginia. I mean, like legit good games. And here I am with Georgia-South Carolina just.
You didn't have to watch
just a
it.
Bucket
you didn't,
full of awful.
I mean, we don't have to talk about it. You could have came in. And,
I know. I don't want to
talk
about it.
We don't have to talk.
I didn't see it, but I watched it just to see who we were going to play.
Yeah.
I have zero worries about this afternoon. I mean, either one of those teams, I think we would have dusted.
Look, the SEC it's ridiculous. I saw Jason King, who writes for the Bleacher Report. He did a great story on Marcus Lee this week.
Yes, he
did. By the way, if you haven't read that, Jason King, just go for Jason King on Twitter and you'll find his Bleacher Report story on Marcus Lee, which is basically all about how much stuff Marcus Lee does without asking for recognition, looking for recognition, the goodwill. This stuff comes from, I'm not going to put it all on Calipari, like it's not all due to him. But he fosters it, he preaches
it,
he teaches it, and he makes sure that when he recruits kids, they already have it in them. Like, that's there. He doesn't have to teach kind heart. He can see the kind heart and character in the kid when he's recruiting them, and that's when he says, we want you at Kentucky because I can see you are someone I want to have at Kentucky.
There's not been a year that's gone by since he's been here where there hasn't been a little kid that's sick that the team has taken on as helping out, or the manager that's here right now.
Right.
I mean, there's stories like that. And in fact, in my Facebook feed that popped up yesterday or today as like a memory from a year ago, I had shared a link on someone else writing a story about how Marcus Lee is doing good works a year ago. So it's just, that's the kind of person, people they are. They really are.
Marcus Lee, Willie Cauley-Stein, Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens still does stuff like that for kids in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he was here 9 months and played in 16 games or something like that.
John Wall. Remember he broke down crying post-game interview the night that the little girl he was visiting.
And I think that's something he learned here.
Yes, absolutely. Calipari does a excellent job teaching them how to give of themselves.
Yep.
And it's so true that the impact of any of these guys on the basketball team, just a hello, a handshake, an autograph, an acknowledgement, anything.
Yep.
If you do that for a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old, they don't forget that.
No.
They don't forget that. You take a picture. I mean, forever. It's forever stuff. I mean, I'll never forget the game that I went to see the Twins and the Royals when it was Bo Jackson on the Royals and Kirby Puckett on the Twins and getting an autograph from my baseball from Frank Viola.
Man, I love the Twins. I love that team.
I mean, but Viola wasn't even like a favorite player of mine or anything, but he won the Cy Young. And he was just.
You just don't forget about it. That's the thing. You just don't.
But quickly, before we go to break, because we're going to have John Hale on next from the Courier-Journal. He's in Nashville, covering the Cats, of course. But, you know, he's paying attention to UK spring football as well. And we'll talk to him about both of those things. But what we just talked about with John Calipari and all the things he does to prepare these guys for life after here, and to try to get it done in 1 year or 2 years.
And it's not even a full year sometimes.
I just think around here he gets plenty of credit. But when are the haters going to stop with it? I mean, I guess it's an ego thing where his ego rubs theirs the wrong way a little bit. And they don't like it. Or they've had past brushes with him where Calipari was maybe a little bit of a different person than he is now. And they're holding grudges, but at some point, you just got to let it go. He's not doing anything at Kentucky that should bother you personally.
And also, I think some of the things they say make them sound stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't develop players.
Come on.
Like,
did you watch Ivan Rabb and Jaylen Brown for Cal last night against Utah?
I mean, no, because I was watching South Carolina, Georgia.
I mean, Konzo Martin. I mean, if those two guys were at Kentucky, do you think you would know their names a little bit better, maybe?
100%. I had to look up.
Would they be playing a lot better?
I had to look up Ivan Rabb's name the other day because I was like, who am I thinking of that guy that went to Cal? There's like three guys that went to Cal. Now, Jaylen Brown, I just looked this morning, is listed as the third overall pick on NBADraft.net, and they have Jamal Murray at 7.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think I just
can't. Haven't heard his name, though, you know?
But I haven't either.
How would you take him over Murray?
How would you take him over Murray the way the NBA is played right now?
I don't know.
The way the league is going, if you have a lockdown 3-point shooter, I mean, everyone's looking for that, and how is Jamal Murray not that? And as you said before the show, like, look what Devin Booker's doing.
Yeah.
My God.
He's got more 30-point games than any rookie in the league this year.
And he's in, I think there's only 4 all-time that have done it.
Yeah.
And 3 of them, I think, are UK guys.
I mean, yes, Kentucky gets a lot of talented players, but, I mean, do I have to defend John Calipari? I don't think so, no, but I just mean, there's nothing that I have seen in his time here that would make you be so, I don't know, have so much animosity towards him.
I know.
Some personal demon or something. So anyway, we'll move on from that And we'll talk to John Hale from the Courier-Journal next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
Let's get serious for a minute, because Fleet Doc has. They just hired Brian Dahl, one of the top diesel mechanics in the state of Kentucky. What does that mean to you? Fleet Doc is now truly your one-stop shop for fleet vehicles.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bimba, bimba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
Matthew Lawrence here, and you and I have something in common. We love sports and we love movies. I've had DirecTV for 7 years because they offer the most sports and a huge selection of on-demand movies at no extra charge. Now, the best way to get DirecTV? From my friends at Impact Satellite, and here's why. First, you can get a $100 Visa gift card when they sign you up for new DirecTV service. Second, you might be eligible for another $100 Visa gift card only from Impact Satellite if you're a Sam's Club or Costco member. Contact Impact Satellite for details. When you get new DirecTV service, you need to do it through Impact Satellite because they'll make sure you save as much money as possible. Impact Satellite is a local company. Their local installers are on time and do the job right, and they specialize in helping you select the right viewing package. Impact Satellite in Georgetown, 104 Lawson Drive between Walmart and 84 Lumber. Or call them at 502-867-0157. Tell them I sent you. Save an extra $10 per month for the first 10 months.
It's the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event going on now at MLS Power Sports, and you have choices. Get a new 2015 Wildcat as low as $189 a month for 60 months, or receive a rebate up to $1,100 depending on model. Or how about a factory warranty for up to 4 years? The fun is up to you during the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Stop in today and don't miss the best deals on the entire lineup of Arctic Cats, ATVs, and side-by-sides.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt on ROVs, approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a valid driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Arctic Cat, share our passion.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough. Ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Yeah.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Welcome back to the Dan and Mary Jo Show. The crowd in Nashville. It's crazy, as it is every year.
But then they had reason to be last night.
Yes. Kentucky takes over Nashville every year that the tournament is down there.
I think today they'll have reason to be just as excited, and we'll move on to Sunday and see what happens then. I'd love to play A&M again.
I think that's happening. I think that's going to happen.
And I'd love to see this team hoist up a trophy.
Let's get John Hale's opinion on that from the Louisville Courier-Journal. John, you're down there in Nashville. I mean, it is like it is every year, right? It's the crowds are insane. They take over.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. It was a little weird yesterday. They were kind of late arriving. They didn't really open the doors until 20-25 minutes before the game started for the night session. So it's kind of empty at first, but by the first 4 or 5 minutes, they were all in there. It was full. It was probably 85% to 90% Kentucky fans. There were moments where it was just as loud, if not louder, than Rupp Arena, because I think sometimes these fans you get coming to the SEC tournament, they're a little different than the regular Rupp Arena crowd, the season ticket holders who maybe are content to like sit on their hands at times.
Right.
These guys were up and loud for most of the game, and in key moments like those Tyler Ulis threes, it got really loud in there.
No, and I think Cal has, you know, he's kind of talked before about his, you know, slight disdain for this tournament, but also, you know, the caveat to that is, I know what it means to the fans, and it is a different group of fans.
Yes.
It is people that, you know, schedule off work a year in advance to make sure that they're going to the SEC tournament, and it is what it is for them, and it's a big deal.
It is. It's a vacation. It's you can get tickets to games in Rupp Arena. I mean, don't to act like that's a tough ticket. Some games it is, but it's not anymore. There are just tickets are so available. Anybody can go now. Now, you might not be able to get great lower-level seats. It might cost you a lot, but you can get into Rupp Arena. Still, though, you're not showing up on a Tuesday for a 9 o'clock game if you live in Casey County or whatever. Yeah. So, yes, especially for the Western Kentucky fans, the ones out west, it's a much shorter drive, a easier trip to get to Nashville, and it definitely makes a difference. Now, today, and then if Kentucky wins, which we all pretty much feel like they can't lose today, it could be Texas A&M. It could be LSU, but Texas A&M, that would be some kind of matchup with that kind of crowd.
Yeah, I think that would be a really fun game to watch for sure. I mean, I was kind of surprised the LSU won yesterday. I was kind of just thinking they were a team that would kind of roll over here. But to their credit, they, you know, they stuck in there and held on to that game and are still technically in contention for a tournament spot. But I think everybody expects at this point it to be A&M and Kentucky. And considering how that game went in College Station with the technical at the end of the game and how weird that situation was and how upset Kentucky fans were, I'm sure that crowd would be unreal on Sunday for that meeting between the two teams with the maybe tournament seeding on the line. I don't know how much Kentucky could do to really help themselves. I think they could probably hurt themselves if they lost to Georgia, which just seems impossible to imagine at this point. But if nothing else, I think they want revenge. And I think that you're seeing this team play really loose and have a lot of fun right now and get to the point where a team like last year we saw, even though they never lost, but when they felt slighted or when they felt, you know, like they had some sort of extra motivation going into the game would really just destroy teams. And I think we're seeing this group get to that. So I'd really like to see how they would respond to a second chance at Texas A&M, considering how that went the first time.
John, do you get the sense, and I know we've said it for 2 months now, you know, that this team can beat anybody when it's good and it can lose to anybody when it's off. And obviously that's, you know, that's any team in America. Yeah, you can lose on any given night. I get that. But do you think we're past the point where this team can just lose to anybody?
I think they're getting really close to being past that point. I mean, the X factor always, of course, is going to be if they can keep the big guys out of foul trouble and get at least one or two of those guys to contribute on a given night. It seems like they've gotten to the point where that's going to happen, especially with Scal playing better the last couple of minutes. I thought it was important last night that even though he wasn't great like he'd been the last two games, he contributed and he had 7-5 was helpful. He wasn't hesitant on his shot. He was rebounding. So if you get those kind of efforts from him, if Poitras plays like he can, if Marcus Lee's able to, you know, just dunk balls and get offensive boards, I think they've become a lot less vulnerable to shocking losses that we saw earlier at Tennessee, at Auburn, those kind of things. I don't think they're going to lose to a terrible team like that. I do think there are still teams that are bad matchups, you know, teams like Purdue, teams like Michigan State, Gonzaga, that are big in the post and tall. I think the foul trouble could still be an issue in those games, but I don't see this team losing to a team like, you know, Georgia tonight, for instance, or a, you know, a really bad double-digit seed in the first round of the tournament. I think we're past that point.
And that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, yeah, if you lose that game, you lose that game. But Auburn, I think if we played Auburn 10 more times.
Yeah. We're talking with John Hale of the Louisville Courier-Journal, who is down in Nashville. You guys have, this is the one thing I don't know if people have recognized this, but with Louisville not in the tournament or postseason, any tournaments, all the Louisville media is following Kentucky. So you have all the Louisville TV stations.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And the Louisville Courier-Journal has not only John Hale, but obviously Kyle Tucker and Tim Sullivan. And then what do you got, like two photographers down there too?
Yeah, Matt Stone's our photographer down here. So, yeah, we're kind of going all in on Kentucky here, I think. Definitely. I mean, our U of L guy, Jeff Greer, is still in town, making sure he's available to cover anything that happens with that, you know, circus at the moment.
Yeah, like the outside lines that's coming on tomorrow morning on ESPN at 9 a.m. where they ambush Andre McGee.
Is that what it is? I didn't see what the different, what the new
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Okay. We don't want to take up John's time with that. But what I wanted to ask you about, John, was it just seems, I don't know, impressive, I guess, is the best way to describe it. What has happened with this team just in a few games? It's as if John Calipari said, you know what, I've decided we're going to make a run at the championship. And so that's what we're going to do. We're all confident that that's what's going to happen. What happened?
It's crazy. I mean, all his teams seem to do this. I mean, if you think about 2014, that team was terrible at the end of the year.
Oh, my goodness, lost
a terrible South Carolina team. What, the next three games left in the regular season, they barely beat an Alabama team on senior night that's not very good, then just get destroyed at Florida on the last game of the regular season, play well in the SEC tournament, lose in the title game in a close game against Florida, and make a run to the championship game. If you look at that 2011 team, they were pretty bad on the road throughout the entire, you know, conference play, click at the right time, make a run to the Final Four. I mean, clearly his best teams, the 2012 title team and last year, were good throughout the whole year, and you saw that coming. But even some of these teams that have struggled, I mean, they make a run at the right time. I think this team is doing that. I think the most impressive thing about this team is it looked like three or four different times that maybe they had gotten to this point, and whether it was injuries or, you know, somebody struggling or whatever,
right,
that didn't seem to stick. But he seemed to manage to push the right buttons again, and I think this whatever he's done with Scal to get him confident and playing well again, I think is a big key in that. Clearly with Ulis and Murray, you're going to get what you get from those guys every night, and that's a real nice nucleus to build around. Derek Willis, I think, is still an important piece in the way that he stretches the floor in the same way that Alex Poitras did last night. I don't think we'll see that from Alex every night, but it's something that can do. But, I mean, they're just kind of clicking all cylinders now. I think a lot of it is just how he coaches. He gets them playing their best way at the right time. But I think some of it is mental, the buttons he pushes. I think this tweak thing he came back up with a couple of weeks ago, like we saw in 14, I think that was mostly a mental thing to tell the guys, hey, look, we figured it out now. We're really good. Yeah. I'm sure that some of it was strategic or, you know, tactics or whatever, but I think a lot of that is mental, just a reset button to tell these guys, my fault, you all were doing, I should have done this the whole way, and now we can go out and win games. So who knows exactly what it is, but he manages to have this formula almost every year, and this certainly looks like the case again.
Unbelievable. We're talking with John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal. Now, if we do get that matchup with Texas A&M again, because we didn't see a lot of him last night, will we see Isaac back in that game?
How do you put him in?
I don't think he'll play a ton of meaningful minutes at the moment. I think Scal has pretty much taken out his role unless we see guys get in foul trouble. But if I'm John Calipari, I put it in at some point, especially at the end of the game, if it's a control or if it's whatever. Yeah. I think Cal, being Cal, is going to give that guy a chance at some point in that Texas A&M game.
Yeah.
And we'll see him on the floor just if for no other reason than to hear the crowd go crazy up there.
And they will.
Well, and Tyler Davis was such a force. Is that right? Am I getting his name right? Is that who it is? Is he the freshman?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The big freshman, the 6'10 kid for Texas A&M. He was so good. That first game against Kentucky, and Kentucky had a tough time stopping him. So actually, this might be a good game for Isaac because there could be foul trouble there amongst the bigs.
Yeah, and it gets lost, I mean, in his spike in the game. But he was really good in the game. He was like the only player, only post player they had who was able to do in there and be productive at all. So, I mean, it could definitely be a situation where they need him. I mean, for sure. You would hope if you're Cal that your kind of current momentum goes between Alex and Scal and Marcus Lee and Derek Willis, you get something out of that group. But it would not be a shock if they need Humphries at some point there.
We should ask a football question while we got you. And I'm just going to make it as general as possible. I've kind of heard what's been said on the first day and the second day of spring football practice. And I guess the biggest revelation is maybe George Asafo-Ajayi moving to guard, that Eddie Grand likes what he sees out of the offensive line, and that Tate Leavitt is maybe not as ready for SEC quickness at this point. But what else do you have that you think is important to know from this first week of spring football practice?
I mean, I think it's important that Boom Williams is out of contact this spring because he did end up having surgery on that elbow that he hurt a couple times last year. I think originally they told us that they were going to try and just have him rehab through it without surgery. That didn't work out that way. So he's practicing in non-contact drills, but as of now, the plan is to keep them out of contact all spring. We'll see how that goes. So that's, you know, not a great situation to have your best player unavailable when you're installing a new offense. But I think if he does the work and gets the mental reps, he can still make some progress this spring.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line, like you mentioned, is a very encouraging sign so far. I don't think it's a huge shock that Tate Leavitt needs some time to adjust. I think we see that with a lot of junior college guys, but he's not going to be the immediate all-SEC contender that I think some fans hope for when you sign a junior college left tackle. And I think that leaves the door open for Landon Young to play and play a lot this fall, which I don't think would shock anybody. On defense, I mean, they've got so many young guys in the front seven. They're going to need to really incorporate a lot of those guys this spring. It's a huge spring for that group, whether it's the inside linebackers with Courtney Love leading the charge there as the Nebraska transfer, but guys like Eli Brown and Jordan Jones and Cash Daniels, who have really not played much at all. They need to really be productive this spring. And then on the line, they're going to have three new starters. Well, you consider that Matt Elam started for half the season, but he wasn't a full-time starter when Melvin Lewis was healthy. So that's a group that's got a lot of turnover. So it's a really important spring. From all indications, they changed quite a bit in the conditioning program this offseason with some longer workouts, more intense workouts, and hoping of really increasing the capacity. So we'll see if that pays off. They all seem to think it is, but of course, at this point, nobody's going to believe that until they see it on the field, and I don't think really you should. So we'll hear a lot this spring, but I think from fan standpoints, it's going to be prove it to me in the fall. And, you know, that's probably fair at this point in time.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about how all the new staff changes are working out? I mean, I know it's so early and these guys have just gotten here, but do you feel like, especially, you know, on the offensive side, there's a gel there, a chemistry there, everybody's on the same page?
I do. I think that's going to be very interesting to watch, too, because Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw have both, since they got here, and pretty much all their public comments have really emphasized this point that they're going to be disciplinarians. They're going to hold guys to a very high standard. They're going to make sure that they're not going to handle this, you know, half effort or anything. And even if Eddie Grant's told me a couple times, if you're a star and you're not giving us what you want, we're going to play somebody else. I mean, I think you can read a lot into that for guys like Boone Williams and Dorian Baker and those guys. But it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust it. I talked to Garrett Johnson this week, and he said he thinks they really need that approach from the coaches, that they need their older guys. Now they need to be held to that standard. So that's an encouraging sign for sure, but I think it's going to be definitely something to watch to see how some of the stars and some of the other guys adjust to that approach. It appears they're a little more hardcore than maybe the previous guys. Lamar Thomas, the new wide receivers coach, appears to be very popular with his players after his little Twitter rant last night about Louisville. I don't know what exactly he was thinking about that little exchange where he took some shots at Bobby Petrino and the Louisville coaches about the staff turnover and some things over there. That is always fun to add a little rivalry spice in the middle of March. But overall, I think they're in good shape. And the new defensive backs coach, Steve Klingscale, had a pre-existing relationship with a lot of his players, recruiting them at either Illinois or Cincinnati. So I think that's a really, really nice boost that it's not a completely new face. He said he knew 75 to 80% of those guys already. So that helps a lot, I think.
Well, John, enjoy the rest of your time in Nashville. Hopefully you aren't coming back until – well, you'll have to come back Sunday, won't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm regardless. Coming back for the selection show.
Yeah, for the election show. So you'll be at Calipari's house on Sunday. Yeah,
if they're still not playing then.
Yeah, I think so. They've never lost on this date, March 12th, ever.
Well, there you
That's
go.
That's crazy.
39-2 in the semifinal round all time. Yeah. And Georgia kind of stinks, so. All right, thank you, John. Enjoy and eat good while you're there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Right, thank you, John. John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal joining us on the Dan and Mary Joe Show. Nashville's just, I mean...
a great town.
It's just the best place to have this for Kentucky fans.
It is. I love Atlanta, but it's Nashville.
Nashville's way better to me. Yeah. It's so much...
it's closer.
It's
you get 3 hours.
So much more accessible, too. Yeah. Everything is right there.
Yeah. It's so central. Yeah, it's not spread out. Peachtree is spread out and...
yeah.
What's the one place called? What's the area that everybody goes to?
Broadway.
Have you ever been to Atlanta?
Oh, he said Broadway.
Josh, the area in Buckhead.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, Atlanta. But look, Atlanta's a nice place, but Nashville, yeah. It's right there. Like you saw on Twitter, the pictures. That area, Broadway, you're talking about Nashville.
Nashville, yes.
Broadway, and then where that just the whole area, the Printer's Alley, all that, right there.
Everything's so close.
Sea of blue.
Yeah.
And when you are down there, you are in the middle of a big blue party.
Yeah.
So it is great. I don't know how long ago had you gone to Nashville? Like, what is the earliest you remember Nashville? Like, that area.
Oh, so I haven't been there in a couple of years, and I know it's probably looks so different now because the restaurant scene is booming. And
yeah. But in the early 90s, that area was adult bookstores and prostitutes standing around.
Oh.
Like that specific area where Hard Rock Cafe is and all that stuff. Yeah, that was adult bookstores, and I think the only thing left that was there then that's still there now is Ernest Tubbs' record store.
That's awesome.
All right, Josh, I know. Yes, I know.
We're taking a break.
We'll take a break. God, leave me alone, man. Gosh. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Why did we call our new checking account the Republic Bank Easy Checking Account? That's an easy one. You never have to keep a minimum balance or pay a monthly fee. You also get free bill pay and free mobile and online banking. We told you this was easy. Get the Republic Easy Checking Account today. Visit republicbank.com or your nearest Republic Banking Center. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
And now for a message from Gerber Life Grow Up Plan. Attention parents and grandparents, do you want to help give your child a great financial head start in life? You can. For just pennies a day now, you can give them $10,000 in whole life insurance that doubles to $20,000 at no extra cost during age 18. Later on, regardless to their health or job, your child has a right to buy additional coverage at adult rates, providing total coverage of up to $100,000. The Grow Up Plan also builds cash value you can borrow from. Low childhood rates that lock in for the life of the policy, benefits that double, plus the right to add more. That's security and valuable protection from Gerber Life, a name known and respected for generations. Get started now. Call Gerber Life Grow Up Plan at 800-461-7264. That's 800-461-7264. Or visit us at mygrowupplan.com. Remember, it costs you just pennies a day now. For free information or to sign up now, call 800-461-7264. Gerber Life Insurance Company, White Plains, New York, 10605. Policy Form Series GPP12, Policy Form ICC12-GPP. The Grow Up Insurance Policy contains terms which may affect the benefits provided. Please contact us for costs and details of coverage. Interest rates apply to any policy loans.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty.
Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We may be putting the horse in front of the car, or cart in front of the horse, or whichever way that, I don't even know how that thing goes. But if you want blood, Texas A&M, you got it. AC/DC style. Because, of course, you know where AC/DC is from. Down Under, mate.
Yeah.
Where Isaac Humphries is from. You want blood, Texas A&M? You got it, mate. right, coming up on the show, we have some good stuff from last night from Isaac Humphries. Or not Isaiah Briscoe.
Briscoe.
Had some good stuff to say. He is always good when he talks. He's just honest, and we've got some good stuff with him. And then we also have John Calipari's Ric Flair.
I mean, we've talked wrestling quite a bit on this show.
Yes.
And he busted out his Ric Flair.
I forgot to mention this. I forgot that this morning I got confirmation that we will have a part-time pro wrestler and full-time Buckhorn boys basketball coach.
Yes.
John Noble Jr.
Yes.
Confirmed for the show tomorrow.
Yes.
At 10:30. And maybe the number one wrestling fan, or at least contender for the title, Kent Spencer at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a good show.
That is a good show.
10 o'clock, Kent Spencer, 10:30, John Noble Jr. of Buckhorn. Buckhorn and Murray, two single A schools. I think Buckhorn has like 25 male students. Those two teams, Murray and Buckhorn, will play in the first round of the Sweet 16. First game. They open the tournament against one another.
I wish that wasn't happening. I mean, it's cool in a way, but I'd love to see them both see if they could move on.
Well, that's the thing. They might not move on if they're not playing one another.
True.
It guarantees one of them will win. All right, more UK basketball talk when we return on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Your new job is waiting. Wait, your new career is waiting. Aramark.
Aramark, a world leader in providing professional services, is now accepting applications for accounts receivable specialists and customer service representatives at our shared services center located in Lexington, Kentucky.
Visit Aramark.com/careers to learn more. Aramark, we enrich and nourish lives every day. A background check is required for these positions. Aramark is an equal opportunity employer.
Let's go, Wildcats! Whether you love him or you hate him, Big Blue Nation, we know you can impersonate him.
That's right.
Sweet.
Hey, now, that was pretty sweet.
That's right. It's Dan Glass from Courtesy on Wheels, and he wants you, BBN, to give your best sweet impersonation during Sweet Madness. It's going on now through March 23rd.
That's right. Hey, Big Blue Nation, get to Sweeten for Sweet Madness.
That's right. Take a video selfie of your most creative, unique impersonation of Sweet. Oh, this should be interesting. Upload it to the Courtesy on Wheels Facebook page, and you could be a winner.
The final four videos be featured on Courtesy on Wheels, and the grand prize impersonator wins a prize pack valued at over $2,000.
That's right.
Plus, co-host Courtesy on Wheels with me, Sweet.
Visit CourtesyOnWheels.com for all the Sweet Madness details. So get to Sweeten BBN and join in on the madness.
Go Big B! Go Big B! Go Big B! Go Big B!
That's Big B Liquor Store, your one-stop shopping for all your March Madness beverage needs. The only drive-thru liquor store in Hamburg. Big B Liquors. Open 12 p.m. till 2:30 a.m. except for Sundays when we close at 9 p.m. We're located at 3090 Todd's Road, next to Buffalo Wild Wings and Cocktails. Browse the store and take advantage of the drive-thru. Big B says...
Go Big Blue!
Please drink responsibly.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi at this hour. 14 more automatic bids to the NCAA tournament at stake on this Saturday of championship week in college basketball. Kansas takes on West Virginia in the Big 12 final, 5:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio, 6 Eastern on ESPN. Jayhawks can match the number of tournament titles won by every other school, 10, with its own victory tonight. North Carolina, Virginia face off for the ACC title, 8:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio, 9 Eastern on ESPN. Considering the Cavaliers allow under 50 points a game while the Tar Heels score a conference best 82 per game, it should be quite a matchup, believes ESPN Radio's Bob Valvano.
They have certainly played with a sense of urgency. They haven't won this tournament since 2008. I think Virginia is a team that does what they do so well. They're among the national leaders in offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency. They've got the player of the year, the defensive player of the year. There's no reason to think it's not going to be a terrific championship game in what's been a terrific conference all year long.
Our Bob Valvano. NBA, the Thunder eager to put last night in its rearview mirror with tonight's visit to San Antonio, 8:30 Eastern on ABC. Oklahoma City fell to Minnesota 99-96 on Ricky Rubio's three with 0.2 seconds left. That was the 11th loss on the season for the Thunder when leading entering the fourth quarter, most in the NBA. The Spurs have won 40 straight at home but are just 4-8 against the Thunder since the 2012-2013 season, their worst record against any opponent in that span. NHL Rangers goaltender Henrik Lundqvist says he'll return from neck spasms today against the Red Wings.
In their last meeting in Cleveland, the Cavs beat the Clippers. Now LA is looking for a little revenge on their home court. The Cavaliers and Clippers, presented by Go 90, tomorrow at 2:30 Eastern on ABC and on ESPN Radio.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Trucking accident, Morgan & Morgan at forthepeople.com.
Hey y'all, Bo Hunter here, and I have some exciting news about my favorite store, R&R Archery in Georgetown. R&R Archery is now offering group lessons. That's right, you can sign up for a one-hour introductory session, and if you like it, you can sign up for a six-week group session. Bring a friend or the entire family and have fun learning about the great sport of archery. They also offer intermediate group lessons, and private lessons are available too. More details, you can call R&R Archery at 502-868-5020 or visit their website at R&RArchery.com. That's R&RArchery.com. In between lessons, you can always practice on the indoor practice range. Of course, R&R Archery stocks a full line of loaded bows that won't break your wallet. This is Bo Hunter, and with group or private lessons, you can hit your target every time with R&R Archery. R&R Archery, 106 Osborne Way, just off I-75 in the Walmart Shopping Center in Georgetown.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Murray drives. Clock's got five as Poitras launches another three. Why not?
He just shot the arrow to his bench, too. Oh, goodness.
March Madness.
And the outside shots are going.
Very, very good. And especially when Alex is playing like that.
Why? What difference does that make?
Because it gives us the inside presence and the outside presence.
What is it about Alabama for Alex? I mean, he lit them up this year.
I don't know, but I mean, every time we played against them, ever since the first game, Coach always told him, like, listen, they nobody on the team can guard you. So just if you be a beast, then you're going to have a good game. And all three games, he had a good game.
How much does he need to have that same attitude, believe nobody can guard me no matter who you're playing?
Every game. Just carry the momentum from one game to the other.
He only made 2 threes all season until today. He made 4. So how does that rest on your mind?
I mean, I don't think he's a 3-point shooter. But if they're going in, then keep shooting them.
Mm-hmm. The last time you
that was Isaiah Briscoe, and the questions were coming from Kyle Tucker and Jerry Tipton.
One.
Yeah. There is no one else who covers Kentucky athletics who would say.
How does that rest on your mind?
Speaking of a guy shooting 3-pointers who normally doesn't shoot 3-pointers, how does that rest on your mind? There's only one, Jerry Tipton.
By the way, we have become like the Monmouth Bench Junior with these bow and arrows. So we caught one. Midair.
Yes.
Threw it aside. Pulled one out of a shoulder.
Right.
How did the other one go?
I can't remember the other one. I got to watch the game like while, you know, producing a sports cast.
Yeah, I was at a going away party.
Back.
So I didn't have the sound on.
I didn't see the third one.
I read it in Eric Crawford's column. And so I got to pull it up because it was pretty funny.
By the way, the bow and arrow, which, you know, went, of course, you said your son Sam did it in a Little League game a couple weeks ago after a free throw. When stuff like that happens, it spreads quickly, obviously. And so it jumped throughout the high school ranks. Like region tournaments and stuff, you had kids on high school basketball teams shooting the bow and arrows. Mike Fields, the longtime Lexington Herald leader, beat writer for the high school scene, is now with the KHSAA, and he writes articles and contributes for them. And he sent out a tweet this week saying, I've been told that a bow and arrow celebration would likely result in a technical foul. To which, you know, folks weren't so happy about. Yeah. I don't know where I stand on it. It's for the high school game, if you let it go too much, it gets a little crazy. You don't want to let it get a little crazy. So I don't know. But it's so much fun.
But it's also you don't want to take
the fun out.
Yeah. I think if it's And it's subjective, which is a problem. That, you know, that always makes these kind of things an issue. If it's taunting, if you shoot the bow and arrow at the bench of the opposing team, 100%, without question, that's a technical.
Right.
If you're just happy, I mean, I don't know.
Could you imagine the creativity we would see? You're talking about 16 teams in a tournament over 3 or 4 days. The amount of creativity we would see from the benches and stuff. Because they saw what E.J. Floreal and company did.
Yeah.
There would be some really good stuff.
So I think it was Michael Mulder that caught an arrow in midair.
Yeah.
And then just
threw it
discarded
down.
It.
Yeah.
I do want to mention real quick, because you just brought up the Sweet 16 and the girls' Sweet 16.
Oh,
Mercer
County
and Franklin County are in the semifinals. We'll face each other. So one of those two teams is going to the finals. And we talked to Franklin County's head coach last weekend.
Yes.
And he said he's going to do things differently this time around. And obviously it's been working because they're in the Final Four. But imagine Mercer County.
Yeah.
Like both their boys and girls teams are in the Sweet 16. The girls now have a chance to advance to the championship game.
These two schools, their girls' basketball teams, have never won a Sweet 16 game before this year. So now one of them is guaranteed to play for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that is pretty awesome. And Franklin County just got by. There was they were leading most of the game, and then late it got tight, and one of the girls for who did they even beat? I forgot now. Campbell County. She had a shot to tie it. And she got it up there, and it hit off the front of the rim, but she pushed off, got an offensive foul, and that did it. But it was a tight one. And then Elizabethtown with Aaron Boley.
Yes.
Who I just mentioned, Mike Fields. He said something about one of the best high school girls basketball players he's ever seen.
Franklin County's coach said the same thing.
Right.
Last week.
Lost to Butler by 2 last night. So it'll be Butler and Murray. This is crazy.
So Murray's got...
Yeah, Murray's got 2. Owensboro Catholic has 2. Mercer County has 2. Both girls and boys teams playing in the Sweet 16. So 6:30 tonight, it will be Franklin County and Mercer County, and then that'll be followed by Elizabethtown and Murray in the girls' Sweet 16.
Butler and Murray.
And then tomorrow at 2 o'clock is the championship game, all those games at NKU, which is about an hour from here in Lexington. The boys' Sweet 16 starts Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The first game, Murray and Buckhorn. And we're talking about shooting bow and arrows. I mean, imagine.
Just let them. Oh, God.
Imagine, because they have the mullets. Visualize the mullet and the bow and arrow gesture on the Rupp Arena floor and that photo taken by Mark Cornelison of the Lexington Herald Leader. That would be phenomenal. I mean, you just can't top that. It would be worth the technical to do it.
Now, where is Buckhorn?
Eastern Kentucky, 14th region. So over there, like Breathitt, Perry, Harlan, okay. that area. I've never been to Buckhorn, so I don't know exactly where that school is. I do know it's very small. Murray is also a very, very small school. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously way out west, but very small enrollment. So that's the good thing, is one of those single-A schools, Murray or Buckhorn, will be playing most likely Trinity in the second round. Could you imagine Buckhorn versus Trinity?
That's awesome. So this really starts the best, you know, one of the best weeks in sports.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got select, you know, that SEC, hopefully the SEC championship game tomorrow.
Yes.
Followed by the selection show, which, you know, everybody's always goes crazy for. So we have a watch party.
Yeah.
That we're going to be doing at Brooklyn Pizza. Matthew Lawrence is going to host a show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 beginning at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You can listen to the Selection Sunday show at 5:30.
Right, yeah.
And then Matthew will be talking all about it at 7 o'clock. Or you can just go out to Brooklyn Pizza and hang with him and be there. Also want to mention that on our air tomorrow will be the pregame show beginning at 2:30. Matthew's in Nashville for that. And
That's today.
Today. I'm sorry. Yeah. Today. 2:30 today.
Yeah, God, Matthew's in Nashville. Yeah. Matthew Lawrence. And he will be live from Nashville at 2:30.
And then tonight we've got the Big 12 Championship and the ACC Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, but that selection show Sunday. And then while we're talking about stuff that's coming up, next Saturday we're going to Courtesy Acura.
The Dan live. And Mary Joe show is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dan and Mary Joe show live from Courtesy Acura. So I don't know. I'm going to ask them if they'll like give away a car while we're there or something. You can come out winning like a Acura. I don't know. We'll see.
Will that get people out there, though? I don't
Maybe. I don't know.
Free they car. Just,
they answer like one trivia question, like how many SEC tournament championships has Kentucky won, or I don't know. No, guys, look, disregard all that. That's a joke.
I don't have any power
to make that happen.
So Jamal Murray's up to 104 threes. Is that correct?
Yes, and the record is, for freshman NCAA record, 122 by Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So he's got a really nice chance to get there.
Yes, he sure does.
Because he's going to shoot, he's going to hit at least four today, right? He's going to hit a couple at least tomorrow. So he's going to get to 110 before he begins the NCAA tournament. What if he can get another 10? I would say he needs three more games. He needs three games in the NCAA tournament.
For sure.
To get in that, to have a real shot. So we'll see. We'll see. Speaking of how awesome Jamal Murray is, did you hear what John Calipari said to Kaylee Hartung in the interview after the game?
His best Ric Flair impersonation.
Yes.
Jamal Murray is making his way up to our set to speak with our guys up there with his 23 points. Could you explain to us how his efficiency has progressed in the way it has?
Early in the year, it was degree of difficulty shots. Everything was avoid the foul, and he was just throwing balls. His assist to turnover ratio was underwater. Now, more assists than turnovers. He gets to the foul line where he's a great free throw shooter. We got him catching and shooting. Let me just say this. He's one of the best players in the country.
Well, he'll be sitting next to Tony Delk.
Yeah, they made a big deal, by the way, out of Tony Delk's record of 32 consecutive games with a made three, his Kentucky record. And they gave it to him a little bit. I think Delk was fine with it. It was a little fun stuff. But that game last night, you had Ulis going back-to-back.
Well, they hit, three threes in 79 seconds.
Right. That game was 46-37, nine-point game. Ulis, bang, bang. Murray, bang. Bullseye, it's an 18-point game.
Just like that.
Like that.
Just like that.
That's how... That's what John Calipari wants to say. That's what he's talking about. Pretty awesome. And then Briscoe, we heard him a moment ago talking about Poitras. you don't even talk about him much. But you think about, you know, all the accolades he had coming in. I mean, if he's at another team, they're probably relying on him a whole lot more to carry some of the load. And he doesn't have to. And so what he does instead is all the other stuff, like rebounds.
Yes. Defends.
Still gets assists.
Yep.
Defends, finishes under the rim. I mean, he's just such – he's an important guy, too, that you don't talk about as much. But Dominique Hawkins, the timely scoring that he had. He's back now. Ankles are good. Feeling good. If he can just pop in, play some defense, spell a guy, and knock down a three and a couple floaters, what do you do about that?
I know. There's nothing. What I mean, that's why, you know, I think that's why we think this is a team that can really do something.
And here's the thing we talked about with Alex Poitras. Last week we were talking about the tournament he had in 2014.
Yeah.
He came on, he was like 12 of 13 over a four-game stretch, like Wichita State, the Louisville game, the Michigan game. He just had a really nice stretch where he was playing well. Well, look what he's doing right now. You know, his whole career up and down. But right now, Poitras, averaging 11.6 points per game in five games since returning from the knee procedure.
Yep.
You know, he missed like five games there. He shot 23 of 33 in his five games back. Since the Alabama game he returned, where Kentucky won by 25 in Rupp Arena, Alex Poitras has made 23 of 33 shots. And last night, the best game he's had shooting ever, four of five from three.
I know.
You know, Jamal Murray said something about sometimes when you see Alex shoot a three, it's, you know, his shot looks kind of mechanical and you know, just kind of jerky, and you don't feel good about it. He said last night he was stroking it. It was smooth. You could tell he was feeling it. He just had that confidence that, look, you can't guard me. The Secret Service can't guard me. He was knocking it down. So if you've got those guys, I mean, they're just firing on all cylinders right now. And like John Hale was saying to us, we saw that. We thought, okay, here they go. And then you lose to Vanderbilt. Okay, here you go. And then, you know, another hiccup. I think they're
A different. Can they lose? Of course. Because as we've seen this year, any team can lose.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them. I just don't see.
They've changed mentally.
Yeah,
that's definitely happened. They've changed mentally.
They will not lose to Georgia today.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're going to take a break and we'll get to Dale. Dale is on the line. You can call us 381-1313. Dale, if you'll just hang on, we'll bring you up as soon as we get back from break. On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
From March 5th through Selection Sunday on March 13th, Westwood One is your home for Conference Championship Week. We've got championship action from the Pac-12, the Big East, the SEC, the Atlantic 10, and a whole lot more. Who will get the automatic bids to the tournament? Will any of them be this year's Cinderella? Tune in to find out. If it's Conference Championship Week, it's right here.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
$1 million Bracket Mania.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
With a shot at $1 million.
Starting Selection Sunday, get to our website,
WLXG.com.
Print out the bracket. Enter the contest for a shot at
$1 million.
And lots of great local prizes, too, including a PS4 gaming station.
$1 million Bracket Mania.
Presented by Community Trust Bank. Also participating,
Mad Mushroom Pizza,
Truck and Auto Extras,
Wing Zone,
Fleet Dock,
Bottom of the Barrel,
Truly Nolan,
Lee's Town Spirits,
and Uncle Matteo's Pizza.
$1 million Bracket Mania.
From ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm Joe Cerzozzi with Lexington Insurance Agency. We started working with Payroll Solutions in 2004. They take the whole payroll idea off our plate and reduces it down to about 5 minutes every couple of weeks. And that leaves us time to do all the things that we need to do that are productive to our business. We're in the insurance business, so obviously we're selling every day, and we use payroll solutions because the last thing we want to do is worry about payroll. Well, if you're doing your own payroll, it's just a waste of time if you can hire somebody like Payroll Solutions. The cost effectiveness of it, time savings are just tremendous. It's had great success with them. We're a local agency, try to keep everything here in town. If they're doing payroll with one of the big national firms, I'd also tell them to talk to the fellows over at Payroll Solutions and see what they can do for them locally and keep the money here in town. They make it really easy to do payroll. I mean, we don't even have to think about it. If we have problems, they're Johnny on the spot to fix it. Everything works like clockwork.
Call 859-255-7020 for your payroll solutions.
1923. A new car costs $265. A gallon of milk, 56 cents. The average price for a home, $7,800. 1923. The year Hearst Business Supply opened its doors. A local company putting local dollars back into the community. Hearst Business Supply is a third-generation family-owned business. We've advanced, too, with more than office products. Hearst now sells break room supplies, advertising specialty items, even Keurig products, and more. Hearst Business Supply is still here, serving the community. Bigger isn't always better. 91 years later, it still rings true.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
381-1313 is the number to call. Dale's done it, and he's on the line with us now. Dale, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Dale.
Doing well. You got big St. Patrick's Day plans?
I'm just going to sit back and listen to basketball all day.
That's the way to do it. Good stuff on today.
What a good day to be in Kentucky is all I can say.
Absolutely.
Well, Alex, I'll say one thing. Alex has sure got Alabama's number for some reason.
He does. It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing. I compare it to Darius Miller. Remember, you would be like, where's Darius? He would play
Florida
and Chandler, what's his name?
Chandler Parsons.
Yes, Chandler Parsons from Florida. He would wear him out.
We'd always say, I want the Florida Darius Miller today.
Right. And because he just knew in his head, they can't touch me. They can't guard me. Alex does that, and it's just a mental thing with him.
Well, maybe it is. Who knows? But I'm glad he jumped into high gear. And so, I mean, you know, Cal does this every year. Everybody's wanting to jump off the bandwagon 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And now everybody's jumping right back on.
Yeah.
And I just kept on going and said, well, you know, they'll be fine. Cal's got this.
You really have, Dale. I often wonder, like, why, because every year we get to this point and Cal does the same thing, why we do jump off that train?
Just human nature.
I guess. Well, I'll give you a good example. It's like the football team.
Yeah.
I mean, we were there at 5-6, 5-6, 2 years in a row. All we had to do was win Louisville, and everybody – you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. But a lot of people don't realize. You take like schools like Alabama, Mississippi State and stuff, well, we're playing against redshirt fifth-year seniors, which are 23, 24, and 25-year-old men, and we're sticking 17, 18-year-old boys and expecting them to do something.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
Football takes a lot more time, no doubt about it.
Well, that's right. Well, you take, like I said, an 18-year-old boy going against a 24-year-old person.
Football also doesn't have the past demonstrated performance that Cal does.
Right.
Where we can look back and say, well, this has happened before where they've lost a few games and then they ended up being okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tell you, to switch subjects a little bit, the reason I called in, you know, I listened to the girls' high school basketball yesterday.
Yeah.
Boy, that was fun.
Yeah.
And then the boys start next week. But they mentioned, I heard mentioned, that they're thinking about putting a shot clock in the high school, you know, in the high school games now. And I'd like to know if that's true or if you heard anything about that. Or
I have not read that. No, I'd have to research that and see what I could find on it. But no, I have not read that or heard about that. I can't imagine they would want to do that.
That would be a giant change that I feel like would...
There would be
years of discussion about that before that ever happened. In my mind, that's a huge change.
What would be the reason right now? Like, why? What has happened that would make them go, you got to do.
I had no clue. I noticed yesterday that Mercer County was in a 2-3 zone, and Covington Homes just stood outside until Mercer County come out and played them, you know, man on man.
Right. See, that's part of the strategy of the game right there.
That's right.
Yes, that changes strategy. So,
I understand why they put it in college because, Dean Smith and his four corners and stuff like that.
And that's on TV, and they need ratings. You know, high school, it doesn't have nothing to do with ratings. It's just the game, you know?
That's right. And you'd be surprised when you go into the eastern part of the state how passionate they are for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially high school.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I mean, I sit there and pick up games all over the state and listen to them, and I enjoy it. Even in football, I do the same thing, pick up the high school games, and I pick out a lot of them from Eastern Kentucky, and they're just passionate about it. And it's fun. And it's fun. It makes me get excited. And sit there and listen to it, and all I want to say is, go Cats.
Hey, thank you, Dale.
Yeah, no kidding. Those crowds are great. We had Billy Hicks on, was it last week maybe or the week before? Remember he was telling us about when he was at Corbin and going to Bell County for a game, and the place was so packed that he had to sneak in like the Western Kentucky University head coach who was there to see a player or something because they were turning them away. That's the passion out there. Did you ever see Ashley Judd narrated and hosted like a three-part series?
Yes.
What was it called? Bluegrass Basketball or Basketball
like
in the Bluegrass?
Yeah.
Or oh, I wish I could remember
really
the name of it.
Good.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. And they went to Carr Creek and they featured Bill Mike Runyon at Paintsville. They featured, that was Danny Haney's last year as the head coach at Lexington Catholic, mm-hmm. was when that happened. And East Jessamine was really, really good at the time. And they were in the same region with Lexington Catholic. And those were East Jessamine, you couldn't get in the gym for those. And same with West Jessamine, you couldn't get in the gym over there. And really showed the passion for basketball in Kentucky. And I lived in...
Which is why this week at NKU and next week are so much fun.
Absolutely. That's what it is. The Sweet 16, there's nothing like it. And having lived in Georgia and covering high school sports down there for a few years, Alabama and Georgia on that both sides, they just do not care. If you got rid of basketball, it might have a chance to really go through. Like the high school could say, you know what? We're going to take the resources that we would spend on basketball and spend it on baseball and football. Let's put that up for a vote. That vote might win. They might eliminate basketball at some schools. I'm telling you, they just do not care at all.
Well, and that sometimes, you know, bleeds up into the collegiate level. You even had a Twitter discussion with Jason King about that.
Right.
Right, where he said he's still surprised about how okay SEC schools are with complete mediocrity from their basketball teams.
It is surprising because let's take Andy Kennedy for a minute. And Jason King brought up him as someone who NIT bound. And Andy Kennedy is, I think, Ole Miss's all-time winningest coach. Like, he's had more winning seasons, better record than anybody who's coached Ole Miss in basketball. Yet, he's not done anything to get him anywhere. And I don't know that that's it just could be hard at Ole Miss.
I mean, just think about a big-time job. How many SEC coaches, names, ever get brought up if there's a big-time job open somewhere?
But you look at the guys.
None. Cal.
Look at the guys, though. Bruce Pearl.
I know, but they don't seem... Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes.
Avery Johnson.
And...
Ben Howland.
Yeah, Ben Howland. That's who I was trying to think of. But it bleeds up. Absolutely. Nobody cares, so there's not pressure applied. If they were performing that way in football, be riding them out on a rail.
Their fans show it. If you only show up for the Kentucky game...
Right. Yeah, Florida, after winning back-to-back national championships, they still could not sell out on a regular basis.
That's insane.
I know. It was the Kentucky game, and that was it. I mean, UK and Texas A&M are locks to get in the NCAA tournament. Vandy's probably going to get in.
I think South Carolina's
probably going to get in. But I mean, Vandy is ridiculous.
Do you think Vandy
they're ridiculous.
Has earned a spot?
No.
I don't at all.
They've shown that they can be good enough.
Reese Davis said as much the other night. He said, that's the last I think we should talk about Vandy. They should be out.
19-13. Vanderbilt's record, 19-13. Kevin Stallings has been there like 17, 18 years. Take a guess. What is his best finish in the NCAA tournament?
Sweet 16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice. That's it. In nearly 20 years, Kevin Stallings has managed to get Vanderbilt to the Sweet 16 twice. And that's it. Do you remember 2012? They beat Kentucky in the SEC championship game.
Yes.
That team was phenomenal. Got knocked
off. Festus Ezeli, right? That's that group, yeah.
Got knocked off in like the first round by
Murray State.
Or
no, that was John Wall's year that they got beat by Murray State. Okay. That Vandy got beat by Murray State.
Well,
but Vandy always gets beat by somebody.
They got knocked off by somebody they shouldn't have lost to.
Yeah.
This team this year, the way they played Kentucky.
Yeah.
They have got Damian Jones is going to play in the NBA. Luke Kornet, I don't know, but he's a good player. He's a 7-footer who can shoot outside and block shots.
Right.
Riley LaChance was, you know, one of the best freshmen last year. He hasn't had as good of a year, but the other two guards they have, I mean, they've got a good team. They're ridiculous. Tennessee is ridiculous. How did Tennessee ever beat Kentucky?
And how did Auburn?
Auburn's worse. Auburn is no better under Bruce Pearl than they were under Tony Barbie. It is proven. I saw that Pearl has the same amount of SEC wins in his first 2 years as Tony Barbie did in his last 2 years at Auburn. LSU and Johnny Jones, are you kidding me? The team he had last year, Ben Simmons this year. How does the number one player in the country wind up playing for a school that's going to go to the NIT? And you still have Bruce Hornsby's kid and Quarterman. And Victor.
Blankney. Another five-star.
What is going on? So Jason King has a great point to make about how pathetic the SEC is when it comes to the expectation, the standard that they're held to.
What they will put up with.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. Steve is on the line. Steve, we'll get to you right after this break, I promise, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
When a client comes to our firm after an accident or an incident, we have the awesome responsibility of returning what was taken away from them. A few seconds can change your life forever. Loss of income and earning potential, past and future medical bills, pain and suffering, past, present, and the future. The loss of the enjoyment of life. No longer being able to enjoy the things you once did, even simple things, nice walks, sports, and just living in constant pain. Our clients don't seek charity, they seek justice. They aren't looking for a handout or a lottery ticket. They're looking to have their life back and property restored. All they want back is what was taken from them. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about your legal rights. The consultation is free. No recovery, no fee. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Offices, Lexington.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Everybody rides in North Broadway Auto. Now is the perfect time of year to reward yourself for all your hard work. Tax time is the right time to find the quality ride at North Broadway Auto. Bad credit? No credit? Bankruptcy? No problem. With over 150 cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs to choose from, we are here to help you find the vehicle that fits your style. Visit our website at www.northbroadwayautos.com to find out more about our incredible inventory. Call 293-2353 or stop by 131 West New Circle Road at the corner of Old Paris Pike and New Circle. Right on the corner, right on the price. That's North Broadway Auto.
At MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You heard the number 381-1313. You can get in here and talk to us. Or I've got TweetDeck pulled up. I kind of look at it throughout the whole show. If you wanted to tweet me, you could do that. Or Mary Jo, she's looking at her phone
yeah,
right now.
I always have my Twitter.
I mean,
Twitter
if you
up.
Tweet Mary Jo right now, she will read it. 100% guaranteed. At MJP18.
Me. And go.
At DRIEFFER. Steve is on the line. Steve, good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend and SEC tournament weekend.
Hey, guys. Y'all may have already talked about this. I didn't get to hear the early part, but you know, last night on the screen, they were running that crawl across the bottom with Cal's comment about, you know, Tyler Will.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And they were saying that he listed as the 39th pick. There's no way he's got to be in the first round, doesn't he?
Yes. I mean, he has to be, but I guess the reality of the situation is, according to what I've heard from people who write about the NBA and from what Calipari says, is that there are just general managers out there in the NBA that just absolutely will not take a guy who's 5'9". Just won't do it. Regardless of Isaiah Thomas's success with the Celtics, that they just came off a 14-game home win streak. He's their leader.
But they see him as an outlier.
Right.
You know, most guys are not that.
But you cannot convince me.
But Tyler Ulis is that.
Yeah,
I think he is.
Right. That he can't play in the NBA. He's just too smart and too gritty. He just knows how to get around whatever shortcomings his height presents. I mean, there was one play last night where he goes into the lane and something that you're used to him making and it gets rejected. Now, that will be an adjustment that he's smart enough to make in the NBA. But he is still so heady that, and a good shooter,
and
as he's proven.
He's developed that floater for that very reason.
Yeah.
Last night was one of the first times, honestly, that I've seen that blocked.
Yeah. And he's clutch. Can't teach clutch. How many late shot clock 30-footers does he seem to hit?
But I do think that's accurate. I do think he'll be a second-round pick. I don't think he sneaks into the first round.
Well, that really shocks me. I thought he'd go, you know, not 27, 28, 29, but maybe around 20.
Yeah.
I thought he was in a good spot to be actually picked by a good team rather than going to a crummy one.
Well, that also depends on who's picking. I mean, I don't know the draft order.
That would be a better fit for him, I think, because I don't know that he is a Ben Simmons who will go in and make an immediate impact and he will start. So he can go to a crappy team because that's what they will need. I would rather Tyler go to a good team where he doesn't have to come in and run the show immediately.
Right. It just depends on who's picking. You know, who has the 20th through the 30th selections and their needs. And if there's a need for a point guard there, I mean, you look at around the country who they are. I mean, there's Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn. And he's listed as a top 5 pick.
Yeah. Denzel Valentine, I guess, somewhat in that category. Not necessarily, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of depends on who's picking, but he can play in the NBA. By the way, Calipari kind of reiterated what he said. He was talking about Tyler Ulis last night and said, I'm going to miss him. I'm definitely going to miss him.
Oh, yeah.
On a different subject, did you guys see the end of the West Virginia-Oklahoma game last night?
Buddy Hield, yeah. On the TV screen, it looked, you know, because of the clock that they have on the score, it was like 1/10 of a second left, and it was gone from his hand. But I guess when they reviewed it, it was the clock that was the real game clock, and it was, everybody seemed to agree that it wasn't off in time. But still, what an amazing shot!
I know.
The big thing was West Virginia was dumb taking that last free throw.
Yeah.
Oh, you never let people advance the ball with the clock stop.
Right.
You miss on purpose. And then all was, you know, if they throw in an 8-foot, they're fine. But, you know, they were dumb, but away with it.
Hey, I just saw something I want to bring up. You ever heard about this, like Ken Pomeroy's offensive efficiency rankings, mm-hmm. and defensive yes. efficiency rankings? And there is a percentage of teams, like, since he's been doing it, teams that have won the championship or have gotten to the Final Four are either top 10 or top 5 in one of those categories. Like, no team outside of that has been able to do it. Kentucky is now number 3 in Ken Pomeroy's offensive efficiency ratings behind Michigan State and Iowa State.
And typically, they're always top 5 in the defensive efficiency, right. always.
But they're playing good defense, too. So that's a good sign entering the NCAA tournament. Anything else, Steve? Do you have anything else for us?
No, I just think, like you said, I think Kentucky's got to particularly now all that are giving him something, and I think once, you know, when you got all the pieces in there and they're being at least somewhat productive, that they're going to be difficult out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and even when they were going through that rough patch, that's all we kept saying is, just if they don't get nothing.
Yeah,
from
right.
the front court, and they get something from the front court, they'll win. They would yeah. win those games.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, all the roles are well defined,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if he redefined them and you know just convinced them that your role is this, do this, don't worry about yeah. anything else, and that has been a big difference. Here is what Euless and Murray provide, which we've known all along. If Alex Poitras does what he does, like he did last night against Alabama, of course, 4 3-pointers, we're not
yeah.
expecting that. But he just showed he's capable. And, you know, Avery Johnson is a smart head coach, knows how to defend. Here's what Calipari saw out of Alabama that allowed Euless and Poitras to do what they did.
Well, I was saying go to the post. I was saying, you know, punch Alex, and we were going to the post, and they backed away from Tyler because they were going to try to stop us from throwing it in, and the kid made an NBA three. Now, if you followed our team, he's made on the year probably 12 of those at the shot clock, in big games, in tighter games than this, on national television. I mean, the kid's been outstanding. And again, when we talk about Tyler, I know he's up for player of the year nationally, and he should be one of two or three guys that are considered for player of the year. When you look at what he's done in his numbers, he's basically made my job like way easier. He's made other players on this team even better. He is a disruptor on defense, he's a creator on offense, and he just doesn't turn it over. Today he had 6 assists. No, what do you have? 5 and 2. Wow, that's a bad deal for him. Usually he has 12, 14, and 1. So proud of him and what he's been able to do and how he's been for his team. Learned to lead off the court. He leads on the court. Now he's learned to lead off the court and be that guy. He's a terrific player. I'm going to miss him, too, now. That's one I'll miss.
I'm going to miss him, too.
Yes.
I mean, he might go down as one of my favorite all-time cats because of those two things. He does not turn it over. And he finds guys. Like,
yeah.
he knows what he is doing at all times. He sees, he's got that Jason Kidd thing.
Who's been a better leader? Who's been a better leader under Calipari? I'm not sure Kentucky's had one.
Grabbing guys on the court.
Pushing Scal. I mean, he's always communicating with everybody. There's no question who's in charge. No question. Calipari gets kicked out of the South Carolina game. He just takes over.
I got it.
I mean, Kenny Payne and company are just like, Tyler, do your thing. See, here's where Calipari gets.
And everyone follows suit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's one thing for the coach to say, all right, right, you do this now. And maybe or maybe not, guys, listen to you. Because Jamal Murray's a gigantic part of the offense. So,
right.
he could honestly, you know, feel slighted by something like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But everyone follows Tyler.
See, some people, even Kentucky fans, get upset with Calipari for not running plays necessarily. Like, he doesn't have a lot of set plays. Sometimes out of a timeout, if he needs something, yes, he'll draw something up. But, I mean, he even says it. We don't run plays, we run actions. We have concepts. Now, the great thing about that is it allows Tyler Ulis to do what he's doing, to coordinate the whole thing. I mean, Jamal Murray knows he needs to get away, and they know to screen for him. I mean, and then you have to give Calipari credit for getting this out of Tyler Ulis. You know, he's talked with him and let him know what it is he needs him to do, because Calipari always says makes his job easier, because if it's coming from a player and it's not coming from the coach, it has a little bit more credibility. It's almost like your parents telling you something and you're like, eh, whatever. And then somebody that you think is really cool tells you, and you're like, oh, yeah, for sure. So it's just a mental thing, and it's big. I don't think everyone probably knows when Calipari says being a leader off the court. You know, I think Tyler Ulis maybe wasn't putting a priority on that as much, like how important it was. Not that he was doing something wrong. I'm not saying that.
No.
It's just the priorities off the court and what it means on the court, how it can make a difference. So that's a big part of it, too. And he's clearly done a good job. We should get to a break.
Yeah.
We got
that made Josh happy.
We could go 3 hours today, I'm telling you. But let's not, because it's Saturday. We've got stuff to do. One more segment left on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The hometown advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At HelpWantedLexington.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on HelpWantedLexington.com. Local jobs that work.
Attention. This is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free, no-obligation consultation, call 800-475-5015. That's 800-475-5015. There are a vast number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-475-5015. 800-475-5015. That's Citizens Disability. 800-475-5015.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is the first team that I've had in a long, long time where we always seem to be shooting less free throws than the other team, and at times 20 to 25 less free throws than the other team. We're trying to drive the ball now, and we're trying to throw it in, but we're just either we're not getting hit hard enough, but that's a fact for this team, which means you got to try to win. It forces you to shoot jumpers. We're not a team that likes to shoot 22 threes, but we like to shoot 17. But we are a team that likes to have 18 assists and 7 turnovers. Now, 7 is low for me. I'd like them to have about 10 or 11. And the reason is I want them to be aggressive and I want them to attack, which means you're going to have at least 9, 10, 11 turnovers. When you start having 5 and 7, you probably weren't aggressive enough.
Well, this team's definitely good shooting team. 54% yesterday. They've shot
except
over 50%.
Except from the free throw line, which is why I'm not too worried about them not shooting free throws.
This year was the first time since like the 40s or 50s or something crazy like that, maybe the 60s, that Kentucky had gone 12 or 13 games where the opponent shot more free throws than Kentucky did. That's what John Calipari's talking about.
Wait, I thought that's what made Tyler Ulis so good.
What? Driving?
You just touched him and it was a foul and he had to shoot free throws.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good from Ben Simmons. Love that. Hey, you know, there's some horse racing today that...
That matters.
That matters big. Tampa Bay Derby at Tampa Bay Downs. San Felipe Stakes at Santa Anita. In the Tampa Bay Derby, it's Brody's Cause is the favorite, trained by Dale Romans, the Louisville native. 5-2 favorite. In the San Felipe, it's More Spirit, 2-1 favorite. That's Bob Baffert's horse. So a couple of good ones, Derby preps going on today. And then tomorrow, of course, Selection Sunday. We got the Selection Sunday special here at 5:30, and then Matthew Lawrence is going to be over at Brooklyn Pizza off of Clay's Mill Road for a live post-selection show from 7 to 8:30, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Pizza is a good place, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been over there, but it's a cool place for food and, you know, drink and watch the selection show. So he'll be over there, and then tomorrow, of course, we're back on from 9 to 11, and at 10 o'clock, we have our good friend Kent Spencer, who, by the way, is in Nashville.
He's in Nashville.
Which means he will have a great report on food.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Kent is not going to eat at, you know, some... He's not going to throw away a meal. Like, he's making it count every time in Nashville.
Yeah.
You can guarantee it. So, we want to hear that.
And we have the head coach / part-time...
Wrestler. Buckhorn's John Noble Jr.
Yes.
Joins us at 10:30.
I am very excited about that.
Yes. Also, Kent can speak to, because we're talking to him at 10 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, the ESPN Outside the Line special on Louisville, their second one, will have aired. It's with John Barr. Again, John Barr was with...
He's been working the story the whole time.
So this is their second special on Outside the Lines. And, you know, the teaser makes it look like they got a interview with Andre McGee. They did, because he's an Uber driver, and they ambushed him with a camera in the back seat.
Wait a minute. Andre McGee is an Uber driver?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Louisville thought they were going to be left out on Selection Sunday. I mean... Could there be any...
They start the day!
Could there be any bigger way to just twist it right in your back? Oh, my God.
Hey, this is payback for that year Kentucky went to the NIT.
And Louisville was a number one seed.
And they won it all.
And won it all. And Kentucky's in the NIT. Whew. We're not going to be able to watch it because we're going to be on the air. But maybe you can watch it for us and tell us, because if that's really how it went, they just John Barr just pops in the car with a camera and starts peppering Andre McGee with questions after booking an Uber driver.
That's brutal.
That is brutal. That's me saying, John Barr, I don't think I want to watch anything you do ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes you feel dirty.
That's dirty. Dirty. Yeah. Exactly. Not even Louisville deserves that. Kent will be able to talk to that if he's not, decided to eat breakfast somewhere instead.
Which he will,
because
I saw on Facebook that they had some sort of phenomenal breakfast-type deal yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had breakfast for lunch.
Yeah, well.
It looked pretty good.
Breakfast for dinner is even good.
Yeah,
that's why there's Waffle Houses. But then at 10:30 tomorrow, John Noble Jr., the head coach of Buckhorn and the Mullets. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Buckhorn and you'll see the kids with the mullets.
Yes.
I mean, it is great. It is great for high school basketball in this state. And the Sweet 16 is going to be wonderful. Enjoy your Saturday, St. Patrick's Day Parade. Coming up in an hour, downtown Lexington. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Roy Williams, head coach of North Carolina's basketball.